Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, May 23rd, 2024, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 21, the first full paragraph, beginning with, "What about the real alcoholic?" through one paragraph ending with, "Once he starts to drink." We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Sherry Z, reading the text, Dana P, reading page 164. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M, and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024, is 21,424 or 21424, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,427 or 21427. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood them. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patty F. And I will now ask Carol B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Carol B. from the Compulsive Overeater from Toronto, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I hope everyone has a joy-filled day. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Carol B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute once you're done sharing. Let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. I feel like I'm hearing some background noise. I don't know if anyone else is hearing that. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 21, the first full paragraph, beginning with, but what about the real alcoholic? Through one paragraph, ending with, once he starts to drink. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Sherry Z to please begin reading.
Good morning, visionaries. Thank you. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California, and we are on page 21, the first full paragraph. But what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker. But at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. This paragraph, when I really read it for the first time with a vision sponsor, I wrote next to the word real alcoholic, me. Every time I identify with something in the book, I write in the margin me. And real felt, I looked it up, genuine, like I'm not faking it, and it may start off as a moderate drinker. I wanted to believe many times, and I would talk myself into believing that I wasn't the real one. Like I had moments, I had weeks, I had moments, therefore I wasn't the real one. It was like I did not want to be the real one. But what happened in vision is that I completely surrendered that I am the real compulsive overeater, the genuine, tried and true. And it's once I start, I couldn't stop. And that my solution always was go to the food, go to the food. And even if I had periods where I thought I could, you know, restrict or this or that, ultimately it was, I'm a real compulsive overeater. And my solution is the food. And today my solution is God, because I have a twofold illness, a physical one and a mental one, a spiritual one. And the only solution, and it has been drilled into me so seriously this week, is God. Only God can remove that obsession. And when I finally came to acceptance. You know, everybody has something. I have compulsive overeating. There's no escaping it. When I finally came to that true belief and true acceptance, I'm a real compulsive overeater, everything began to change. I look forward to hearing everybody's thoughts, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry Z. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish up promptly so other people can get in there too. So I'm going to ask for your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from and who would like to share.
Shlomi Hana B. from Philadelphia.
Was that Shlomi Hana B.?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Veronica B.
Gotcha.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Got you, Karen. Anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup?
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
I've got you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Thank you. Vicki T. from Florida.
Hey, Vicki, I've got you.
Dana P.
Okay, gotcha, Dana P. All right. I've got Shlomi Hana B., Veronica B., Karen KZ, Joan Marie M., Vicki T., and Dana P. And Shlomi, you're up first, followed by Veronica B.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. First of all, thank you so much for your service. For everybody who's doing service and for being on this line and for this meeting, I really appreciate each and every one of you, and I'm so grateful. And just this little paragraph here, talking about the real kind of overeater, that is definitely me. And it took me a long time to admit that. I really, really appreciate hearing about the fact that only God really has the answer to disease. And that's exactly where I am in my recovery. I have been in a few paid-for recovery. Phenomenal. They're absolutely phenomenal. They help me tremendously. But when you're dealing with people and not God, then you deal with people's issues. And twice in 9 months, the rug was absolutely ripped up from under my feet due to things that were out of my control that were caused by people. And a few weeks ago, it came very clear to me that this was a shakeup from God, and that God is giving me the message that I need to rely on Him. I can't rely on people for my recovery. I can't, because people are people. They're human and imperfect. The only perfection is God. And for this compulsive overeater, for this addict, I know that the only answer that I have is God, and I am working on surrendering, and it's not easy to do. It's definitely not easy, and there are, you know, times when I feel pulled to go back towards the people, but I have to remember that, you know, the only solution to my disease is God. And that's where I need to put all of my focus and all of my trust and my reliance and to get my answers from. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Hey, Shlomi Hana, where are you calling from?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Thank you so much. And next up, we've got Veronica B., followed by Karen KZ. And please let us know where you're coming from, where you're calling from.
Hey, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And thank you so much for your service. This paragraph describes me to the T. This was me. At some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his drink, his liquor consumption, once he starts to drink. So for me, you know, I got the effects from foods. And once I started to eat certain foods, it just, I had lost all control. I remember one time when I was new into Overeaters Anonymous, I told my sponsor, I said, yeah, I ate, you know, I was having a lot of trouble eating like processed foods that come out of a bag. And I said, yeah, I ate more than one bag. I can't stop eating that food. And she said, well, because you have no control. I have this illusion that I have control, but I have no control over certain foods because I eat for the effect. And this is what makes me different than a normal eater. You know, my sister, she'll have a slice of a dessert and she'll say, you know, after a couple of bites, oh, it's too sweet, or, oh, I've had enough. You know, I just can't relate to people like that. That's not me. So I know that I am bodily and mentally different than my sister. So in my heart, I know my truth, and my truth is I'm a compulsive overeater, and the only solution for me is this way of life, living by spiritual principles, living with a God of my own understanding that I rely and trust in every area of my life, and a support system that I need to remind me of my truth. Because if I stop coming here, or if I stop tapping into these meetings and being of service, I'm going to forget my truth. And I'm just going to go back to what it was like. And that was, I was in the food. So I'm so grateful I know my truth and that I'm surrendered today and living this way of life. Thanks for listening.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next up, Karen KZ, followed by Jo Marie M. And Karen, can you press star one to unmute, please? Am I being heard?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. Yes, Karen, from it there. I thought no one could hear me. Okay, go for it, Karen.
All right. It takes a little minute to get that for the brain to process. I thought I was unmuted, by the way. Okay. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. And I love this paragraph, especially where it says, at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. And that's what happened to me. I've been in this program for years and really didn't get it. I didn't know I didn't get it. And I went to meeting every week and I was abstinent, white knuckle abstinent. I was controlling everything. And then it came to a point where I couldn't control my food anymore on my own. And I'm embarrassed to say that I repeated the third step. I did believe in a power and turn my will. I said I turned my will and my life over. I didn't turn anything over. I kept controlling my food until I couldn't. I lost control over it. And what brought me into particularly the vision rooms is that I absolutely could not stop. It just shocked me because up until that point I could. And I could not stop. And I hated myself. I hated myself every night before I went to bed because I'd done it again. I said I wasn't going to do it. I did it again. And all those years in the program, I mean, I heard these things, but actually I didn't hear it from the big book way. I heard all these things and I just didn't get it. Yeah, I don't guess we don't get it until we get it. But I was so desperate because it was bad enough to go to bed hating myself, but I woke up every morning starting my day hating myself. And I knew I needed help. And somebody suggested the vision meeting, and I came and I got a vision sponsor. And I was so desperate that I was willing to do what she said. Up until that point, I took what I wanted and didn't do the rest. And of course, you know what happens when you do that. I didn't get recovery. So the biggest gift of my recovery is my relationship with God, that I totally rely on God. I invite God to take me over every day, to think his thoughts through me, to speak his words through me, to act his actions through me. And this has changed my life because I say this first thing when I wake up, I say this throughout the day. And since I invite God to take over, God has taken over. And I have a life that things come to me and happen to me that can only be from a power greater than myself. So that's what I have to share. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Next up, we've got Joan Marie M., followed by Vicki T.
Good morning. Thank you for all the powerful share so far and more to come. Joan Marie M., living in Nevada and recovered by the grace and power and love of God. I take no credit for that. It was God that took the compulsion and the obsession away when I surrendered. I surrendered all. And I'm just so grateful. You know, the real alcoholic, the real compulsive overeater, if I don't get that, that's step one. If I don't admit that, if I can't see that, that no matter what, I cannot eat like a normal eater eats. Take a piece of this and that and you know, stop thinking, what's wrong with them? No, what's wrong with me? I didn't get it. And like I've heard in the shares, I've been around for a long time. And I've relapsed a lot of times because even in the ingredients, which I didn't even realize, would trigger the allergy of the body. And it is twofold. It's the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. You know, last night at a face-to-face meeting, they were talking about the jaywalker. I totally, absolutely identify with that. And that's what makes this program work so well, that we can identify with each other. I mean, last night we were laughing and joking, but yet there was such a seriousness about this, because it is a disease that's out to kill us, me. It will, if we allow it, but God. And I... it is a spiritual program. My faith in God grows every single day, and I know that without Him, I can't do anything. But with Him, all things are possible. So today, I say thank you, God, and thank you all that have shared and continue to share. And I'll pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. And before we go on to our next person, I want to let you know, if you've just joined us, we are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 21, the first full paragraph, beginning with, "But what about the real alcoholic?" through one paragraph ending with, "Once he starts to drink." We are reading and commenting on just that one power-packed paragraph this morning. So next up, I've got Vicki T. followed by Dana P. You're up, Vicki.
Hi, everybody. Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. My name is Vicki T., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in South Florida. And, you know, I heard somebody say this the other day, that abstinence without recovery is just as bad for me as not being abstinent. And, you know, years ago, I wouldn't have understood that. And I really understand that today. I started Overeaters Anonymous back in the 80s. And in those days, you know, we were taught what we were taught. And I had no spiritual program. However, I did have years of abstinence. What did that, for me, what that meant was that I wasn't compulsively overeating. It was sheer group support, willpower, combination of things, but you know, it never lasted forever. But the level of emotional and spiritual sickness was so high. I had no coping skills. That's why, you know, I feel so grateful today to be the real compulsive overeater, because like, why would I want to work these steps? They're, like, really ego deflating. And, like, you know, I'm to the point now where I'm in the middle of reworking my steps. And it's not because I relapse. It's because I want to. Because I can't get enough, and not knowledge. I don't want more knowledge. I'm way more than enough knowledge than I need, but more transformation, more healing, more coping skills, more tools. So I'm glad that I'm not the moderate. I'm glad that I lose all control once I start. And it is such a God job. I heard somebody say that on a podcast. You know, they were talking about everything. And then they said, oh, well, you know, when the food. Oh, yeah, that's a God job. You know, it's just there's so many things that are a God job that I get to surrender to. And, you know, it's so interesting because when I try to do something my way, like I can't even, it's kind of like the mafia. It's like once you go in, you can't get out. Like once I'm connected to God, like I can't bully, you know what the second word is, myself anymore. I would try to get away with things. And God's like, what are you doing? Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Like I don't treat people a certain way because that's what they did to me. I do the right thing because I have to do the right thing. And because I want to do the right thing, because that's how I feel good. So it's about the food, but then it's not about the food, and then it's about life. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Vicky T. from Florida. Dana P., you're up next. And Dana, if you can hit star one to unmute, please.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, thanks.
Oh, great. Sorry. I thought I was unmuted. Dana P., I'm in California recovered. This is a great paragraph. And it's interesting because, you know, it's like we're thinking that this is what the problem is, right? That I'm an alcoholic, compulsive eater, whatever our drug of choice may be. And it really speaks to the progression of the disease. I may have started out this way and now I'm this way. And it's so interesting because what I realize is a result of working the steps and thinking that if I could just not stuff myself with food and throw up, that everything in my life would be okay. And what I've discovered by the grace of God is this fact that I have what my AA friend calls the ism. And I am a fix, control, figure it outaholic. And so I could spend an awful lot of time in this paragraph trying to figure out which place I fit and or if I even fit at all. And really what the problem is that I have a spiritual malady. And this program, this book, these steps help me to find a solution to the real problem, my spiritual malady. And I've heard it said on this line this morning multiple times that there is something out there in here that I don't understand, I can't figure out, that is a solution to my spiritual malady. And it is through this process of working the steps and continuing to do so on a daily basis, and this process, if you will, becoming my way of life, that I don't even say understand, that I know that something greater than me is what it's all about. And not just it's greater than me, but I am included in that, as is every other person on this line. So if you're questioning where you fit in this place, just because you're here says to me that there's something for you to get from this. There certainly was something for me to get, and what that is a relationship with this thing that I don't understand, that I can't figure out, that is far greater than I am, that I'm included in. I'm going to pass with that. Thanks so much for letting me share this morning.
Well, thank you so much, Dana P., and we can get another lineup, and I just want to remind you that if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any Vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. If you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, who would like to share?
Kelly L. from Washington.
I've got Kelly L. Who was after Kelly?
Susan G., Los Angeles. Thank you, Steph.
Oh, thank you, Susan G.
Donna B. I've got you, Donna B. And do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this lineup?
Jordan L.
Right? Oh, gotcha, Jordan. Got you, Jordan. Okay. I've got Kelly L., Susan G., Donna B., and Jordan L. And Kelly, you're up first, followed by Susan.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Kelly L. from Washington State, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And, you know, this paragraph just really reminds me that I am the real deal, the real alcoholic. You know, was I a moderate eater at some point in my life? Probably not. But I was moderate other things. You know, I drank and dabbled in recreational things in college. And, you know, it was easy to put those things down, you know, like when I became pregnant. You know, I was a smoker, a tobacco smoker. And, you know, it took me several times to quit. But again, it was challenging. It was difficult, but it was something that I was able to do when reasons presented themselves. But with the food, I had, you know, millions of reasons to put the food down. You know, 20 plus years of binging and purging, causing damage to my digestive system. And then the other extreme being over 100 pounds overweight and having my doctor, you know, just coming out of surgery and having complications from that, being told that I need to put the food down. And then having somebody deliver my binge food to the hospital and hiding it from my nurse. You know, and it's just the demoralization that comes from this disease when you don't understand the allergy and you don't understand from the doctor's opinion. What we know is that it is a disease of the body and it's a disease of the mind. And, you know, I just the self-forgiveness that this program has given me, you know, in the sense of understanding where this has come from, not necessarily where it's come from, but the true cause of the compulsive eating has just been a miracle. And following the steps brought me to God, which in and of itself is a bigger miracle. I'm just very grateful for all of you, grateful for the 12 steps, and grateful for my new relationship with my higher power, which is brings so much joy right to my life every day. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly L. from Washington. Next up, Susan G., followed by Donna B.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. There's so much to say, and yet when I'm with all of you who thinks the way I think and ate or vomited or starved the way others did, there isn't much to say, right? And just like our first reader said, I have me written next to this paragraph as well. And I feel like I was always a hard drinker from very little, because my first memory is at 4 years old, sneaking food and instantly lying. It had me immediately. I lost all control of my eating consumption, but also of the truth. I couldn't tell the forest for the trees, as they say. And once I started drinking, and as was just mentioned, you know, I have that phenomenon of craving, I don't know where I am. Those disturbing behaviors that I used with food, really, I was using them everywhere. And it just wasn't working. And then when I came here and you described who I was, I didn't really like that either. Surely there was another way. So let me go out and harm myself for 16 more years, and I'll keep on checking in on all of you and seeing how you're doing. And then one day it's like, okay, there's nothing more. God, I'm going to need you more than on just a Sunday night, and I hear that you are available. I am one of these people, and I want what they have, and it says that I can have it too. If you are struggling, if you are new, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome to this Vision for You meeting. We are here 5 days a week, and I hope that you will join us, because there is no need. I don't feel disturbed when I eat anymore. I don't have to hide anywhere. I don't have to eat in my car. Just all the things that I did, I don't do them anymore. I'm free, and that's thanks to you, the 12 steps, and to God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much, Susan G. Next up, Donna B., followed by Jordan Allen. Let us know where you're
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado, and my first name is spelled D-A-N-A. I'm really grateful to know what I am and who I am and what disease that I have. I have the opportunity to pursue the right treatments. I think with other medical conditions, it can be very discouraging when I go to a doctor and say, you know, this hurts or this bothers me, and there's tests and tests, and it's inconclusive, and we don't know, and you can try this and you can try that. And it can be frustrating and disappointing and discouraging and a sense of just like nobody knows what the hell is going on. But with this disease, as it's so clearly described, and with this solution, there is a solution. What could be better than having a solution and having it outlined? And that it's possible and it's available for every single person, including myself. And I'm very grateful that I took on this endeavor. And I hope and pray that I will continue to do so for the rest of my life. And as others have said, I welcome all of you who are struggling inside and outside of the rooms to avail yourself of this opportunity. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Next up, we've got Jordan L. And Jordan, if you can hit star one to unmute, please. We're not hearing you. Jordan may be having some technical difficulties, so we'll give her a minute to do that, but in the meantime, we're going to take some more names and get another lineup, so please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Lynn D., California.
Hillary. Hi, Lynn D.
Hillary B.
All right, got you, Hillary. And we can probably do a couple more. Do we have anyone else who wants to share? A lovely paragraph on page 21.
Laura.
First full paragraph.
Pamela C.
I think I heard Laura, was that you from New Jersey getting in there?
Laura H. from Washington, thank you.
Oh, Laura H. from Washington. I jumped the gun. And there was one more person I heard.
Pamela C.
All right. Okay, we'll go with that. I've got Lynn G. followed by Hillary B., Laura H., Pamela C., and Lynn, you're up first.
Thank you so much for your service today. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. And I was, this is the part of the big book that I'm doing a step study with the sponsee right now. And I just remember, like, when I first came into program at the, you know, old age of 19, I thought I knew it all. And just taking a step back and realizing that I wasn't even, like, the moderate eater. Like, there were several key component things that I did. It was my eating career that labeled me way more than, you know, heavy, extreme, you know, the real deal compulsive overeater. And I remember writing some stories down because there was this like huge denial of like this eating disorder, right? And this disease. And one of the stories was I was in second grade and I was going to my first sleepover. And I was so excited and I packed all my things. And I was telling my friend that, well, oh, what flavor of the ice cream do your family, you know, because we had several flavors of ice cream available at any time in my house. And she goes, we don't eat dessert. And it was like somebody said that, you know, you were going to cut my right arm off after dinner. Like, I was just so upset. Or I just remember being so upset in second grade that, like, I wasn't going to be able to eat after dinner. And that feeling of, like, I wasn't going to get my fix in second grade. So there was that big story. I mean, talk about heavy eater, right? Like, there doesn't really need to be any more. But another story is I ended up getting two cats. And I named them Chip and Salsa. Never occurred to me that, you know, anyways, naming pets after food. So I just don't, I know if I give it, if I get really honest with myself, and I really enjoyed somebody who said that I do the steps not to gain more knowledge, but to peel that onion and to have more transformations, because I feel the exact same way. I haven't, you know, I don't know how to deal with life on life's terms. And so I need to go through the steps and do 10 steps and do 4 steps on life because I just don't know how to deal because my food has been taken away and that's how I dealt with life. So I need it for coming from a higher power, some good orderly direction in my life about how to deal with life. So thank you for everybody today for all these golden nuggets. I'm Lindy from San Diego, California, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lindy. Next, we've got Hillary B., followed by Laura H.
Hi, everybody. This is Hillary B. from Southern California, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater for today. I need to remember, because I am a regular relapser, that I don't ever arrive, that my recovery is just for today. I am recovered just for today, and I have to do today what I did yesterday or I'm going to lose it. I love that the sharing. It helped me realize again today that it took me a lot of years, decades of years, to admit I am a real compulsive overeater. I have a very highly developed, complex system of denial that buries so many things, doesn't face, so allows me to not face so many things. And so it took me all these decades to finally say, I'm truly, I conceded to my innermost self I am a compulsive overeater and I'm doing whatever I need to do. It's been over a year now that I'm doing whatever I need to do to not pick up the food and to stay in the understanding that this is my disease. I am not different. I am the distinct entity that makes me like you guys. I am the same. So now that I am doing at step 11 every day and 10 steps and all these things, and I'm cleared out, I'm not filled with junk food, sugar, everything, sugar, salt, and fat that I could get my hands on, I'm seeing a lot of other things. And it's really hard to see that I've been in denial about so much about myself and my character defects and how so many, well, 100% of my difficulties are caused by my own self. My troubles are of my own making. That is such a significant statement in the big book for me. Nobody ever does anything that causes me troubles. It's my thinking of what they do. It's my issues that they trigger, that their words or actions might trigger. And it's not fun. Honestly, it is not fun seeing all this stuff about myself that I got to give to God, that I have to let go of, that I have to pray to have relieved, that I have to take contrary action against. It's just as hard as putting down the food. I don't know. Maybe it might be that hard. It takes a lot. And just like putting down the food and staying, keeping the food down, it takes a lot of willingness and a lot of action, a lot of behaviors that I have to do. And so at the same time, I'm so grateful that I'm seeing these things about myself. I'm going to be 73
Hillary,
in June.
That's time. That's time.
Okay, I'm going to be 73 in June, and that's a lot of decades of being in denial. So I'll do my best, and thank you all for contributing to my recovery, and thank you for timing.
Well, thank you very much, Hillary B. from California. And Pamela, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to you. We only have about 3 minutes left. Please come back tomorrow. And Laura H., you'll be our last share.
Thank you. This is Laura H. from Washington. I'm grateful to be on the line, and I'm so grateful everybody does the service to keep this meeting going. It amazes me. This happens every day. Well, almost. Anyway, as I read this passage, What About the Real Alcoholic?, this hits me so hard, and I have had years of struggle with this. So I grew up in 12 steps. My parents were in recovery in AA, and I've been around meetings all my life. And when I was first pushed into my first OA meeting, I was 15. It was back in the 80s, and I couldn't hear anything at that point. Finally got into abstinence and recovery in 2001 for myself. And I remember encountering this once again, and I would hear in meetings so often people talking about they were a real alcoholic. And how I heard that, especially in AA meetings, was things like, I shot more dope than you did kind of attitude. And I was so turned off by this. And I had no idea what people were talking about when they were saying this, and that this was really about identification with being a true alcoholic and getting out of the denial. And so I think it helped me stay in some form of denial. And I maintain this attitude of not being as bad as everyone else, and it was a form of denial for me, and I didn't want to own it. I didn't want to identify with all the people that I saw in the meeting that I had a lot of judgment about, and I would come into meetings, and I would sit and take everyone's inventory, and I couldn't identify. I just so did not want to be one of you, kind of a thing, and admitting defeat for me felt like a total death. And, you know, I'm a fighting Irish girl kind of person, and I was not going to go down. I was going to get over this somehow. And I tried so many different ways, and, you know, I'd maintain abstinence for a year here, a few months there, and blow it again. And it wasn't until this last year when I realized I wasn't talking to a single member of my family. And I began to think about whether this was because of me, or it was just because they're all a bunch of fill in the blanks and they just don't understand what they need to do. And I started to see that my attitude towards them was very much about, I'm here to try to help you. Being a therapist is not always a good thing. And that attitude was pushing people away from me. And again, it was another way of reinforcing how I'm different from you, and I couldn't identify. And when I finally got abstinent again, three and a half months ago, I did a fourth and fifth step on this stuff, and I'm starting to finally see the benefit of that fourth and fifth step now, of realizing how my attitude of better than thou has been killing me slowly with my disease. And at 56 years old, I think I'm finally putting some pieces of the puzzle together to help me understand how that attitude pushes everybody away from me. And then the death for an OA person is to be in complete isolation, not talking to people. And so I'm trying to follow directions and reach out to people several times a day. And oh, my ego, I feel like I've got an exorcism going on in me. It's so hard to do this work.
Laura, that's time.
But I'm doing it. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Laura H. from Washington. And we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Dana P., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. Sorry. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.